It, basically, what it was our daughter, Kenya. She's had 16 years of in and out of hospital. She's had meningitis, open heart surgery. And this year she had scoliosis and had a 10.5-hour operation, which was high percentage risk. And sort of what I said was, when she came out of it, because it wasn't, we didn't really know whether, you know, she was coming back at one point, that as a bit of a, you know, a thing from getting through the operation, that we would go to Las Vegas. And so therefore, when she got through the operation, we booked it to come at Christmas, which was going to be one of our best holidays ever, you know, in light of everything of the year. And then that happened on the plane.
I can't believe it, Dean. Can you believe what's happened?
No, we'd only been on, what, 20 minutes or something, half an hour, half 12, yeah, something like half 12. And then he came over the loudspeaker that we had a hydraulic fault and we were having to turn back, and they were either going to fix it, or the story was going around that it was either going to get fixed or we would get on another plane.
Mm.
But before we could land, because we had 104 ton of fuel on board that we wouldn't have when we got over to Las Vegas, we were having to dump all the fuel, which was a bit suspect. And we were just sat behind the wing. We were maybe four seats behind the wing. We could see everything. And then when I looked out to the side of the wing, there's all this kerosene sort of fuel coming out, you know, and they were dumping. So we dumped for around about an hour.
Wow.
Out at sea at sort of Wales and coming back in. And then I started thinking, well, hang on a minute, you know, this is, something's not right here, dumping fuel. Everybody started getting, you know, it was panicking from then on. We came in, we circled for a few hours, and then it sort of filtered down. The captain didn't, you know, he wouldn't tell everybody everything because of Chinese whispers sort of jobby, but it came over the tannoy saying that the wheels hadn't come down. So, you know, the crack went around for a bit that we had no wheels, and then it came back that we had one wheel at the front and one on the left-hand side, and the right-hand side hadn't come down. And he was, you know, we were going to land on two wheels. He told us that there was no alarm, and it was going to be 100% fact that we were going to land in one piece. But then we sort of circled for a number of hours, and we went through some emergency procedures. He didn't really tell us what he was sort of doing, but we found out later on he was trying to make the landing gear come down, and so we started doing all these procedures. I mean, he did tell us he was going to do it, and it was great, but we started going sort of like on a roller coaster, and there was people screaming, there was people being sick, some woman a few hours down, she started with nosebleeds, there was screaming, there was a bit of mayhem on board.
Oh my goodness.
As he was going up and down, you know, like them zero gravity aeroplanes where you go up and then all of a sudden he swoops down and everybody sort of lifts up in the air. Well, we were on the verge, you know, we were going up and we were sort of coming down a few thousand feet and right up and over as if we were on a roller coaster. And
what was it like, you know, on board? Were people thinking, well, you know, hang on, he's obviously got this under control, or was it,
well,
by this stage a bit panic?
The thing was, we were there for that long on the plane that I think every emotion went through everybody's head. You know, we were going to be okay. You know, this is it. We're not going to get off here now. You know, I put on my gravestone that I died on an aeroplane.
Is that what you were thinking, that you might die?
Well, there was all sorts. Yeah, of course,
yeah.
There was, because, you know, you only get filtered down so much information, and you're asking the staff, and the staff are saying, well, look, we've only just been told that one set of wheels hasn't come down. And so you start making things up in your head. Can we land with one wheel on one side and all this and all that? And, you know, and you're looking at people, and everybody all groups together, and everybody's face is looking the same. And, you know, my daughter was sat next to me, Ellie, and she was saying, are we going to die? Are we going to die? And she started hyperventilating halfway through all this lot. And there was people on there thinking that they were going to die. You know, it's as simple as that. When he came over and said, you know, what had happened, he said, we're going to land at around about 1:15. And then the 1:15 come, and we're going round and round, and sort of 2 came, then 3 came. And you're thinking, hang on, we were supposed to be landing at 1:15. Something seriously must be wrong here. And, you know, you start making things up. And, you know, there's people sat there watching telly, and, you know, some people do it in other ways, and some people are properly freaking out and whatnot, and there's people holding hands and everything. And, you know, I was sort of quite calm about it, because I just kept looking at the positives that the chap, you know, the captain kept saying, you know, you're going to be all right. We're going to land properly, yeah? So you've got to grasp hold of the positives, you know. I mean, I personally sent text messages to my brother-in-law, Ben, and told him to tell everybody, you know, we love everybody and all this and all that. And
the words that you never want to hear when you're on an aeroplane is brace, brace. And you, well, you did hear that, did you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, what happened, we all had to be seated and we weren't allowed out of our seats, but we were in there for like 2 or 3 hours. And, you know, there was a lot of people needing the toilet, including my daughter, Ellie. And so what he said was, he said, right, he said, I've got 10 minutes of fuel left. He said, I'm going to level up, let everybody go to the toilet. and then he said, you know, we're going to have to land. So we did all that. I mean, it's, you know, sort of surreal in one way. And so we did that. And then he said, look, you know, we're going to have to go through the proper procedure of an emergency landing. So as soon as them words are coming out, you know, it's sort of panic-stricken even more. You know, we started coming in, and then sort of a computerized voice comes over saying, you know, take up emergency, positions and things. And then the cabin, the captain's coming over saying, brace, brace, brace. And then you go down, hands over your head and feet behind your seat. And then as soon as this thing comes on, you know, brace, 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 all the cabin staff start shouting, hands over head, feet behind seat, hands over head. And they just shout that all the way through. Oh, head down, feet back. That was it. Wasn't it? Head down, feet back. Head down. You know, shouting out very loud, and you know, you're just coming down, and everything went dead, dead quiet. There wasn't a sound at all. Everybody was just wondering. You know, this is it. This is it. There was people actually praying too, and it was just a case of see what happens. So, you know, the staff were doing everything they could. I mean, I'm sure they were scared too, but they were very, very professional. And we came in, and to be honest with you, when we came in, it was a very smooth landing. It's only when we picked the paper up this morning that we've seen there was actually fire underneath and whatnot, and we bounced up on the airplane had actually bounced back up. Knowing that we only had some wheels, some brakes came on. I'm sure you could smell it was either brake dust or some sort of burning of something. And then we came to us, you know, I think when we got down to about 70-80 miles an hour, I just said to Ellie next to us, I said, we're going to be all right, because even if it had toppled over then or whatever, we were going that slow, it wouldn't have broke up, I don't think.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. What a relief that must have been for you all.
There was some people behind us going, come on son, you can land this, you can land it, you know, and everybody was going, come on, you know, and then when it landed, a cheer went up and everybody started crying and handshakes, and yeah, it was pretty, you know, pretty stressful what happened. I'm glad, obviously, first and foremost, I'm glad everybody got off the plane. I mean, we've got to say thanks to Virgin because of the support that they've given us afterwards, putting us up in hotels, food and drink and everything like that. And everything's for free, etc. It's been absolutely fantastic.
And you could have flown again today, but you've chosen to come back to Cumbria.
I mean, me personally, I would have gone. But the rest of my family have seen so much. So traumatic that at the moment there's only me and Maisie, but she's only 4. I mean, she doesn't understand. When we landed and she looked out the window, she said, oh, is this Las Vegas? You know, she didn't understand.
Oh.
But it's going to be a few months before we can get back on the plane.
Mm. Can I have a quick word with Stacey Dean if she's there?
Yeah, of course you can.
Hello.
Hello, Stacey. So you don't fancy going back on a plane anytime soon?
Well, I don't want to say never because I don't want never to see the rest of the world. But I couldn't have got on it today. And not 10 hours. I just couldn't have done it.
Can you believe what's happened? What have you been saying to your family and friends who I assume you must have spoken to since this happened?
It just feels surreal. It feels odd that it's actually happened to us. Out of all the people in this country, we were on that plane. It doesn't feel like it. It feels a blur now, to tell you the truth. I think your emotions are running so high when it's happening. Afterwards, it's just odd. It's surreal.
And how are the girls? Kenya especially, because this was a special holiday for her.
Kenya doesn't like flying, so she was actually upset before we got on the plane. She was crying, and anyway, we were saying, no, it's okay, you know, nothing ever happens.
No.
And it was a special time, and it, you know, we were looking forward to it. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen for a while, I don't think.